Well, thank you for that devotional, Kevin. That was perfect. Psalm 90, starting at verse 1, says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills are his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands form the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. That's how it was going to open. But he did a great job in setting the stage of worship before a mighty, holy God who is perfect. So I want to continue on my thinking here from my last message. And I had some feedback from my last message. It was called Lifting Up Your Eyes to Heaven. And I don't normally like to address feedback, but there was a couple questions that I thought were good. I had some good feedback, some people who liked it. But there's a couple questions. I said that we are like Satan, and I'm not sure exactly how I said it, or that we maybe are his equal. And in context, I was explaining that we can easily believe that we're good because of our good works and that we don't need grace. We like to think that we're good people, but that's not how Scripture talks about us. Paul says in Romans that no good thing comes out of the flesh. Jesus said that the person who is angry is no different in God's eyes than is someone who murders. And some people would say that, yes, people are sinners, but once they become saved, then they become good. And I can agree with that. I think that is partially correct. If we're no longer living in the flesh, if we're living in the spirit, I think that's correct. But as long as we live, we carry our God-hating flesh with us, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised when it rears its ugly head and we see it and it comes out. So we need to die to the flesh daily. Now, that's what I was trying to communicate. Do we have the same capacity for evil that Satan does? Are we like the Antichrist? I don't know. I guess I'm not sure that even matters, because even if we have a little bit of sin in our life, if we don't repent, we end up in the same place, facing the same judgment that Satan does. So I think in general, and this is what I was trying to bring out, I guess in general, I feel like our present sinfulness is maybe underemphasized, the sin that we have within us right now. And I believe that the biggest problem we face as believers is not the sin around us. It's not the world. It's not the sin around us. The biggest obstacle in our way of being good Christians is the sin within us. Another comment that I had, where I said that I was going to talk about change, but then they said, well, you never did. And I was thinking, well, in my mind, I was thinking of a follow-up message, because I thought that talking about the motivations to change and talking about the reasons why we may drive into change, I felt like that was really important, and I felt that was important to talk about first, and then the pathway to change second. But I want to spend the rest of my time this morning talking about change. And I know it's foolishness to talk about change in 20 minutes. That's ridiculous. But I'm going to attempt some guiding direction. I don't know. Hopefully it makes sense. All right. So In the book, How People Change, the authors talk about spiritual gap that can exist in our lives. So we understand the past. We understand how our past sin is forgiven, okay? How the gospel changes our past. Our sin is forgiven. God's grace covers it. And we also understand how the gospel changes our future. So the gospel affects our past. We understand that. The gospel affects our future, how we're going to heaven. We're going to a place where there's no more sin. We're going to go to be in the presence of God, be a part of his family. But what about the gap between then and then that's called today? That's called right now. How does the gospel change your life today? And that's what I want to focus on. How do you live out the gospel today? How does the gospel speak into how you treat your employees? How you treat your children? How does the gospel speak into your struggle with depression? Or your struggle with fear? How does the gospel speak into your struggle with selfishness or your addictions? Today is when life gets messy. Today is when, I don't know, today is when my flesh comes into direct opposition to what the Spirit wants in my life. And today I face that battle. So how is the gospel affecting your life today? Today is whether I'm going to decide if I'm going to praise God or not. Whether I'm going to be joyful. Today I'm going to decide whether or not I'll pursue wisdom. And today I'm going to decide whether I'm going to live with humility or whether I'm going to live in self-righteousness. And the path to change, I would say, is not easy. But I think it's simple, and I think I can get you headed in the right direction. There is only one way to change the sinfulness that we carry with us today. John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. John 3, 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So how does the gospel apply to my life today? You might not think about yourself as a dreadful sinner today. That's how we think about our past. But how do you think about yourself today? Scripture is clear. As long as we're in the flesh, we're going to struggle with sin. And I believe that Jesus Christ holds the key to any change that you're going to see in your life, any change away from the sinful state that we're in. And the path of Jesus is clear. Humility and repentance today. So, how do we become good followers of Jesus today? So, I have a question. I think I see Mark sitting back there. Mark, if I would come up to you and ask you, how do I be a vet? I want to be a vet, Mark. How do I do that? Can you help me to be a vet? What would you say? Exactly. You probably can't tell me in 5 minutes, right? Could you tell me in an hour? Like how to be a good vet, like so that in an hour I could go out and start my own vet company. Not even close, right? So you have to go to school for how long? Okay, so 6 to 8 years, 68 years, 6 to 8 years. So to be a good vet, well, let me ask you this. So you've been through all that schooling, right? Now, is your learning done? It's not, is it? you still come across new things, or maybe nothing's new, but new to you. Like, you got equipped, now you're practicing, and now you're applying, and you go out every day, and you study animals, and you put into practice what you've learned, but you also pick up things. And I would imagine that you change from what you've learned. You've probably changed the way you think. Like, you think differently than you thought 15 years ago before you started school, or 20, or however long it's been. I don't know. So Mark begins to think like a vet. It changes the way he thinks. He'll look at an animal, and before he maybe thought, "Wow, that animal is thin and it's acting funny. That's odd." And now Mark thinks way beyond that. When Mark looks at an animal, he's like, "Thin and act. It's probably this, or it may be that. And here's some medication that would help. And here's maybe change of environment." Like, it's way deeper. Like, Mark thinks different. Mark's a vet. I believe that it's the same way in our Christian walk. It's the same way. If you want to change and grow, if you want to be a good believer, study Jesus Christ. Read about him. Dive into his word and learn. Let what you read soak in and change how you think. Wake up every day and put things into practice. I'm sure you'll fail. I'm sure you'll make mistakes, but keep trying. I believe that change is a lifelong process of walking with Christ every day, and it can't be accomplished in a week or in a year. For our first text, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, starting at verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." So there's a lot here, and we're not going to dig into all that. But the point is, make pursuing wisdom your passion. Make pursuing wisdom, make pursuing Jesus Christ your goal. What drives you. So we talked about coming before him with humility, talked about pursuing the Lord. We do that by reading his word, by praying, by always looking for things to learn. And it's ask other people too, their perspective on things, other people's books, preaching. Ask the question, what would Jesus do, or what would he think? How would he think about this situation that I face? How did King David live out his faith? How did Abraham? How about Apostle Peter? There's lots of things that we can study and learn. And then, we talked about this a little bit, but coming before him with humility, pursuing the Lord, it begins to transform our minds. It begins to change how we think so that we start thinking like a believer. Romans 12, verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So the pursuit of Jesus Christ will renew your mind. You'll start to think and act like he does. And it's interesting, when we were at the minister enrichment weekend a couple weeks ago, I was sat in a discipleship workshop, and they talked about, the instructor was saying that he had been in some situations in discipling people, and all of a sudden he noticed that the people that he was trying to disciple were starting to imitate him. They were starting to do, like, dress the same and talk the same and they were imitating him. And I think that's what happens when we follow Christ, when we pursue him. And I believe, I mean, the scripture is clear with what who Jesus is and how he thinks. It's not something we guess. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus is humble and obedient. And we see some examples of what he did in humility and obedience. John 3:16, you all know that verse. God is full of love. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is gentle, and again, humble, lowly in spirit. And then Paul is a little more direct. He talks about what we should be, and so Jesus is these things. What should we be? So turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think he kind of goes on there a little bit, but wow, where do I start? This is how Jesus thinks, and this is how we should think. Renew your mind. Now, I believe that you're not going to be able to do any of these things without the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Like, on your own, you're going to fail. You're going to try to do these things and fail. You need the Holy Spirit. And why is that? Turn to Galatians chapter 6, or chapter 5. And it explains it. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. So you can't do the good things without the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why the path to change is so important, that we don't miss, well, we don't miss humility. Like, the path to change has to start with humility before God, because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So if we come to the Father with pride and self-righteousness, I doubt we're going to have much success. So we need the Holy Spirit to win this battle, and it's a war. And maybe, I don't even know if we maybe understand the power that is at battle within us. Solomon, in speaking about the love between a man and a woman, says that love is as strong as death, and jealousy is as cruel as the grave. So what happens when these strong passions that are within us come into conflict with what the Spirit wants us to do? We need the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading. Verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So notice some of these things that are things that we do. Okay? Some of the things are things that we think. So if you look at the works of the flesh, like witchcraft is something that we do. Idolatry is something that we have within us. Strife is maybe something that we do. Envyings is something that we think. Murders is something that we do. Drunkenness is something that we do. But it's more than that. It's the things that are within us as well. And verse 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So it's not enough to stop doing these things, but Paul also calls us to crucify the desires. When the desires stir up within us, go to the Father in repentance. I want to turn to one more, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God has given us everything we need to live holy lives today. Not back then, not then future, today. And he wants us to put on these things. And he even goes on, he says, if our lives are not full of these things, then I guess the flesh is winning. I guess we're blind to the fact that we have sin in our flesh, and that we need Christ today. And that's what he says in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So, I guess to recap a little bit, we come before God in humility. We pursue Jesus Christ by reading his word and praying, by walking with him daily. We transform our mind. We imitate Jesus. We start thinking like him. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, we then do what is good. And I have a question for you to think about kind of as I come to a close here. Does your effort to follow the Spirit today look like the fruit of the Spirit? And I guess what I'm thinking is maybe the first three specifically, love, joy, and peace. Does your pursuit of change, your pursuit of godliness today look like love, joy, and peace? So I believe that God has covered us in love. Love back then, back when we were God-hating, before we trusted in God to cover our sins, before we even knew about God. God had sent his son to die and to forgive us. So God covered us in love back then, and he's going to cover us in love in the future When we get to heaven, it's going to be unimaginable. So the love of God is great in the future. What about today? Do you believe that God's love surrounds you today, even as you struggle with sin, even as you strive to overcome, even as you maybe see that you need sanctification and you need to grow? Does God's love cover you today? It absolutely does. God says, come to me. Come, you that are weary and heavy laden. It's an invitation to come and be near. He'll give us rest. And oh, what joy comes out of that. What gratefulness and pleasure to walk and serve a God like that. Does your walk with God look like peace with him? So do you rest in peace knowing that your sins are forgiven in the past? That's easy. What about today? When you make a mistake, you get angry, you get selfish, you get... Well, that was a really proud thing to say, Gary. I did it again. Are you at peace knowing that God's grace covers you today? I think you can be at peace with him. Again, he calls those that are weary and heavy laden and says, come and be near. And I wonder if we should, you know, we can think about needing to change as in shame and God's wrath and that it must be done. And I think those things are true, but I think greater than that, so greater than God's wrath, maybe you could say, is his love. Greater than the shame is the peace and the joy. Like, I don't think we should pursue change out of shame and sorrow. And now there is a time to weep over your sin, right? There is a time to humility, confession, repentance, sorrow for sin, but we don't stay there. We enter into God's love and joy and peace. So his invitation is open. He draws the struggling ones near. And I think it's because we continue, like God knows our hearts, we continue to need God's grace. We continue to need his mercy. And what I think is neat is that he has work for us to do in the kingdom. He wants us to be a part and to affect each other's lives. We talked this morning about a church and a brotherhood. Like, God wants us to work together as a brotherhood and help each other, and at the same time, we need help too. And God's grace is there for that. The Lord is the searcher of the hearts, and he'll continue to do his work. Things will come up that reveal what needs to change. So I can't tell you the process, but you'll try to do these things. You're going to try to add to your godliness, brotherly kindness. And then you're going to try to add love. And you're going to come and your flesh is going to do battle. You're going to say, I'm going to do this today. And your flesh is going to say, oh, no, you're not. So the Lord continues to chasten us while keeping us safe in the kingdom. So I just encourage you to let the change in your hearts be ruled by love, joy, and peace. And one last thing, I guess, I'll give you this for free since I should be closing here. But I believe that if we search our hearts for sin, you're going to find it. If you go on a sin hunt, you're going to find sin. It's just there. Like, you're going to find evil desires. You're going to find the flesh. And so I want to encourage you. So we're supposed to put off the flesh and put on the Spirit. I want you to focus less on putting off the flesh. Don't. Like, if you go there, you're going to find it, and it's going to be ugly. I want you to wake up in the morning and not think, how can I, I'm going to work really hard to not let my flesh out of the bag today. Well, A better approach, I think, would be to wake up in the morning and say, how can I add to my faith virtue? How today can I add charity to my life? What's one way that I can go love the people that I'm going to be with today? What's one way that I can be patient today with somebody? I think that's a much better approach. And maybe just one thing, and that's all we'll get done today. But I just encourage you to let the gospel affect your life today. May the Lord bless you.